Hi, and welcome to the Family Brain Podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to the glorious and messy world of family life and mental health. I'm your host, Megan Gibson. I'm a licensed clinical social worker with a private practice in Austin, Texas. I try to keep it real, and I invite guests who I think might help us navigate this journey of being human. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to The Family Brain. Today, I am here with Grace Mackey, and Grace is a trauma-informed yoga therapist. She does lots of work with mindfulness, meditation, yoga, and talk therapy, and has a master's in counseling. One of the things that excited me is she talks about nervous system realignment, and this is something that's kind of new to me that is very exciting because I love hearing about things that have been around and I'm just getting word of it. So thank you, Grace, for joining me today.
Yeah, happy to be here. I love talking about this, so I'm all about it.
Well, and I will say, let me point to your Instagram also. It's Elevate Therapy. Is that correct?
Elevate Your Therapy.
Elevate Your Therapy on Instagram. And you do such fun. I have fangirl of your Instagram because you do such, you do a nice job of like providing information, but making it fun. And that's not always easy to do. It's definitely an art form, I think. So you have lots of good information on there.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You're right. It's not that easy. It's taken some time, but I'm happy with it now.
Yeah, you do a great job. So I'd love to just sort of hear about early days of Grace. How did you sort of get to this work? What got you interested in this?
I have been interested in being a therapist since I was a teenager, actually. My first experience with therapy was at age 15 when I started individual and I was in a girls group. And that girls group pretty much changed my life. I mean, it was incredible just for me to have that space to be me, to talk about what was going on. I had been through some trauma and had some depression, anxiety I was dealing with, and just to connect with others that were struggling was amazing. And so I was in therapy throughout high school and I went straight into college for psychology. And then after that, I went straight into counseling just because I knew I had to. I mean, it helped me so much. I knew I had to share this and it was just what I was so interested in general. And since then, it's been a wild ride of, you know, I got my traditional therapy degree in counseling, and then I've explored all different kinds of holistic and alternative modalities, anything from Reiki energy healing to yoga teacher training, to yoga therapy, to nervous system coaching. So I love encompassing all of it. I don't believe there's a one right way to heal or to learn about yourself. I believe whatever works for you, and there's many different modalities to do that.
Well, and I love that you are sort of open to hearing all the different things from an early age, because that's one of the things as a therapist that I'm realizing is that some of the traditional educational systems don't give you information about these other ways that are equally as helpful, if not more helpful, but they're not in the books or in the curriculum or in the syllabus, you know? So you really have to do a lot of extra work to kind of dig around and so was that something that was always on your radar screen, or was there someone you met that kind of like tipped the scales of like, oh, what's this all about? Or I'm just curious how you became aware, mostly because I'm like, how am I just learning about this now? It's kind of crazy.
Well, yeah, no, it wasn't. It definitely was a road I went down for a couple of different reasons, but mainly because of my health, my physical health, actually. I've gone through multiple different chronic illnesses, went through chronic pain, and after seeing multiple different doctors, recognizing that really it wasn't something structurally wrong with me or the diagnoses that I was receiving, for instance, like fibromyalgia and things like that, they are syndromes, right? They're not actually something that can be cured or healed. And so, long story short, I was going to this functional doctor and he was saying, I think you need to go see the psychologist. I was like, what do you mean psychologist? I'm having like physical chronic pain. And he's like, no, you need to go see her. I was like, all right, I'll do whatever. I don't care. And so she's a traditionally trained psychologist, but she's trained in a modality that works with what's called neuroplastic pain, which is where your nervous system gets super highly regulated, dysregulated over a very long period of time. And when that happens, your brain, your body gets stuck in this stress response. And it starts to feel certain feel pain in certain parts of your body so that you don't feel the emotional or mental pain that might be coming up, whether it's from your past or whether what's going on in your life at that time. And so once I started doing that, it just opened up all these doors of like, oh, you know, there's just, it's not just about how I'm thinking or how I'm behaving or, you know, what's structurally going on in my body. My nervous system, my anxiety, my depression, my mental state has such an effect on my physical body. Like they're so connected on a level I didn't understand. And so I've started exploring that. I actually went through a similar neuroplastic training, pain reprocessing training recently so that I can work with kind of like she did with me. So it's kind of a long-winded way of saying, but oh,
it's fascinating. I think what's hard for me is that there are so many things out there. I get a little overwhelmed. I'm like, how do I take all the classes still provide for people? And like each little new nugget I get so excited to talk about, you know, and sometimes people are like, ooh, and sometimes people are like, huh, what are you talking about? Yep. So it's just, it's exciting to me. And I think I love learning. So it makes me realize, gosh, there's so much more for me to know. So I guess I'm just curious, like when you have a new client, I was just looking at your website and actually I just sent your group. You have a group that you run online. I just sent it to one of my clients because I was like, this looks perfect for you because I love that. It's like you were saying about the girls group. Sometimes it's that connection with other people that is hard to sometimes come by. But if you have a good leader, you can kind of create that space that really provides something that you can't really get on one-on-one. But anyway, so your website is fantastic and has so much good information. But so if somebody reached out to you and kind of was like, what is this? I know I'm not doing great. Like, what is this? How do you sort of walk them down the path of like understanding what you provide?
So usually what I say on a very basic level, we'll take anxiety, for example. Anxiety is pretty common and you can somewhat can resonate with it, right? And so if you're experiencing anxiety, a lot of times you'll experience a lot of ruminating thoughts, thinking over and over about whatever the thing is, or maybe it's anything, everyday anxiety, right? That you're always thinking and you can't get out of that spiral. Oftentimes what comes with anxiety is some physical manifestations too. Right? So you might have some tightness in your chest. You might even have some stomach issues or things like that. And so I usually talk about sometimes we can't just automatically change the thoughts in our mind with anxiety, right? I mean, if that were the case, then therapy probably wouldn't really be a thing. You could just change your thoughts. And oftentimes we try and do that over and over and it still isn't really working. And so if we pay attention to our body signals, our true nervous system, and then we work with that, it also helps to change the thought. So it's a body up approach. It's called bottom up approach instead of top down. I use both. I'm such a person of balance. And I don't, like I said, I don't believe one right way. And so I will do both, but that's kind of where my sweet spot is recognizing, okay, how can we pay attention to the body and work with the nervous system so we can actually help calm the mind and vice versa. Sometimes we need to do both. Sometimes, you know, for instance, if someone's going through a panic attack, I'm not going to sit there and say, just breathe through it. It'll be fine, right? That's not helpful either. Now I'll teach them how to work with their breath, but sometimes you got to have to just let it flow through, and then we'll come back. And so sometimes that means distraction, doing something else with that moment. So I use both. And really, it totally kind of just depends on what the person's coming in with. I am focusing a lot more these days on chronic pain, chronic illness, but I work with a full spectrum. I'm also an eating disorder therapist. I worked in ERC, Eating Recovery Center, for a while. And I love working with eating disorders or any kind of disordered eating, body image. So any connection that I can help you understand between your mind and your body really just helps you understand that. It's like kind of like psychoeducation. I use a lot of psychoeducation. Really believe the more that we know, the more that we can help ourselves.
Yeah. I know I've said this a few times, but I don't know why this is so. I remember in graduate school reading The Body Keeps the Score, and I've read that a couple of times. And I feel like, so that's the offering, Bessel van der Kolk. I'll link it in the show notes. It's fantastic. And then what? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, okay, The Body Keeps the Score. And there is some talk in there about EMDR and, you know, it's an older book. So it sort of has some, but it's basically, I think, mostly a description of like how trauma gets stored in the body. And I think this then what? Like, how do we move forward from that? If we know that, then what happens? So what are your biggest, like, if you're just doing sort of 101, the entry into this work, what are some of the things that you mentioned breath work? So breath work, are there any other things that you really try to teach people to take home with them?
On a very foundational level, just the basics of, is the first thing that I'm very clear on, and sometimes it can be frustrating because it can feel a little slow or like it's not a quick fix in a way, but the first thing is just becoming aware how your body responds to whatever is going on, right? And even just starting to use some of that language, like if you're talking to your partner, someone that you're close to, and you're feeling stressed or sad or something, just even using the language of like, my heart kind of hurts right now. Like my body just feels heavy, right? I'm exhausted. My body's exhausted. Or like my body is really antsy. Like I cannot sit still. Just starting to use that language, starting to become aware of what does your body feel like on an everyday basis, and especially in those times that you're having a really hard time. That's the first. And also at the same time, I will use and teach just very basic breath works. Like for instance, if you are in a dysregulated state where you're feeling a little more anxious, you're going to want to extend your exhales. The longer your exhales, the more you're calming your nervous system. On the flip side, if you're more in like a dissociated, depressed, stuck, down place, we're actually going to want you to move a little bit more with your body and bring a little bit more energy to your breath, right? And just understanding where you are and the differences between a anxious, stressed out nervous system or stuck, depressed, just dissociated, just feeling done type of place in your nervous system.
Well, I am loving learning from you. And I know you have a class for therapists, right? And that's really cool that you're taking what you've learned, because I know a lot of therapists listen to this. So I love that you're taking what you've learned and kind of sharing it to make it more accessible. You know, I mean, it's exciting, but I think it's tricky to figure, like for me at least, to think about how do I then integrate this into working with people. But I love like concrete things like that. Like I was just talking to this woman, I was getting a haircut, and she was saying, I was saying, oh, I don't know if I want to go to Target. And she was like, oh, you should go, and got all excited. You know, people love Target. And I was like, I don't know if I can handle it right today. You know, like it just sounds so, but like it, in my body, I got the feeling of like, I don't know if I can handle Target Christmas. I mean, and on the right day, right? It feels good in my body. Like, ooh, I'll see Target and they'll have decorations. And it was a fun little exchange that we had. Cause then she was saying how she sometimes gets overstimulated by certain things. And I feel like it kind of can open conversation to like, people feel different things in their bodies at different times. And it just kind of, it opened up some neat conversation about a lot of things. But it's taken me, I think, a long time to realize, because we are so disconnected from our bodies, like, ooh, why do I feel so stressed out right now? Oh, maybe because you went in and it was like Christmas music and this, and then you realize you have to buy gifts and, you know, like it just slowing down to sort of notice like that I don't have the space for that today. Like that in terms of my energy, like that's not going to work today. And on another day when I'm kind of feeling meh and maybe need to get like a little energized, or maybe Target is the right answer. That's my Target analogy.
It's a great analogy. There's so much power in acknowledging what's right for you in a certain moment or a certain day. There's so much power in that, because then when you do align yourself, like when you do notice that, oh, you might have the energy for Target today, or like, yeah, that might feel okay, or you know what, I just need to get out of the house, I'm feeling blah, you know, that might help you kind of get some energy in you and get some different stimulation. And I will say at the same time, I do recognize sometimes we don't always have the privilege to choose. And so part of the work that I'm trying to teach is also recognizing, okay, if we really don't have that choice and you got to do the thing, whatever it is, how can you take care of yourself in that? How can you maybe take 10 minutes before you go into Target to just sit with you and breathe and try to calm down a little bit in your nervous system? It may not be perfect, right? But some way, shape, or form, calm down, and then, okay, go in there, do what you need to do, come back and take care of yourself.
Right. No, I love that. That's a good reminder, because you're right. I mean, work, for example, like I'm not in the mental space to deal with the chaos of work today. Well, that's not an option to just not show up. So you were talking about working with clients with chronic pain. Is that something that is new for you, or is that new in the chronic pain space, or is this something that's been going on with people who manage that?
It is newer to me. I've always been in that space, but it hasn't been something that I've been, I mean, truly almost like just that my imposter syndrome hadn't taken over. So now I'm feeling much more confident in doing that. I did just recently this year go through pain reprocessing therapy training. So I feel really good with that under my belt. I've known that I wanted to do this, but it hasn't been, you know, full force, like Grace, chronic pain therapist, right? And now I'm really moving towards that. And so that might look like chronic pain usually means a certain amount of pain within your body that has not gone away after, and it might even be after an injury. It might be after illness, might be after something that you've had this pain, but it's never really fully gone away. Or it just started popping up and you don't even know why. Right. And so you've been to doctors, you've been to therapists, physical therapists, chiropractors, whatever, and maybe it helps for a little bit, but you have to keep going back. And so the way that I work is recognizing that actually your brain is just sending a lot of danger signals to your body. And what we need to do is tell them to be safe, and you don't need those signals anymore. And so there's a lot of research behind this type of therapy showing that once it works, about 75 to 80%, I believe, of people in their studies either eliminated or severely decreased their pain. So I went off on a little tangent there, but no, it hasn't always been something that I've done, but it goes directly with the way that I work with the mind and body. And so it's definitely something I want to move into.
Yeah. When I can relate, I guess is the word, to what you're saying, the imposter syndrome, about learning some of these new things. You want to bring it to your clients. You want to share the information, but sometimes like, well, I need to be an expert before I, you know, show up with this information. But what I've noticed is that it really benefits, that's my own stuff. You know, I'm doing as long as I say it in a humble way, not like gather around, I have, you know, the perfect information. But I think that it helps like share, I'm learning too. And I think it helps people realize like, oh, I'm not out of touch, that I didn't know either, you know, that you're a specialist and you're studying it and you're still learning new things. But I just think that's interesting. I think a lot of times therapists work, you know, in their own nooks. And so it's hard to remember sometimes that, I don't know, there's not as much community with therapists sometimes. And so you don't know that other people are also struggling with some of these things. And so I think it's helpful to know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is definitely one area it's kind of been under the radar of, I will do that. And some people have come to me for that, but it's never been blasted out there. So I'm excited for it to be actually.
Yeah. Well, and you're in Austin. I'm in Austin. We should have like a little therapist play date sometime.
Yes.
Fun therapists in my texts. That's my work community is my text messages from them.
I'm so down. I feel like I've been in and out of community and therapists around here. So definitely open for more.
Yeah. So what would you want people to know if they're thinking about this might be something that would be for them? What would you want them to know sort of just in terms of how you work, or like, is there a consultation process? How would people get in touch with you? Notice you also do work online. So if people aren't local, they can reach out to you as well.
Yeah. I'm actually mostly virtual right now, and I'm licensed in Texas and Utah. Actually it's kind of random, but I am. And so usually that would look like an intro call to just kind of go over like exactly what would be the right course of action. I do therapy and I actually do some coaching as well. And I'm working on building a coaching program around chronic pain specifically. And the difference is therapy is going to go is much more for working on some of the negative patterns that you've created. I don't want to say created, right? I'm not blaming the person, but that have come into your life that you've maybe noticed or you haven't noticed and you're just feeling like crap and you just need some help, right? Therapy is going to go a lot into more of the past and processing where you've come and where you are and family dynamics, relationship dynamics. Coaching is going to be a little bit more of, okay, what's going on right now? Maybe in, for instance, in terms of chronic illness or chronic pain, I'm going to actually give you some certain skills and tools to use outside of the therapy session. I'm sorry, outside of the coaching session. I do that with both, but with coaching, it's much more formulated to, okay, we have about 3 months of time. That's usually around how I work with chronic pain, chronic illness. That's where I see the most benefit, is around 3 months. And oftentimes it goes longer, but that's where I see a big change, a big transition of eliminating most of the pain. And so that coaching, actually, I keep in touch more often in between sessions, just because that level of pain does need some coaching in between. And there's some boundaries around it, but we talk in between sessions. So therapy, I usually see people once a week. Coaching, sometimes it's around 3 weeks on, 1 week off. And then my groups, like right now I'm leading, I think you were mentioning what I'm leading is the Own Your Mental Health group. I'm leading it right now. I'm meeting weekly and it's for 8 weeks. And that one is specifically geared more toward just overall generalized nervous system work. I have a few people that are going through some tough times with their family, some grief that they need to process, anxiety, career management, like that. Truly, it doesn't really matter what it is. It's just learning how to work with yourself in this moment right now in terms of what's going on in your life. How do we listen to your brain? How do we listen to your body? How do we listen to your nervous system? And I help teach you some of the skills to help you do that.
Awesome. Yeah. I need that. Thinking we should do a therapist's group. Wouldn't that be awesome? Helping therapists understand them. Anyway, what are some of your favorite resources to give to your clients? Like, do you have books that you're just like, oh my gosh, you have to read this, or you have to listen to this? Or is there anything that you sort of tend to recommend often?
So, in terms of the nervous system, Deb Dana, she does a lot of writing and work on the polyvagal theory in the nervous system. Anything by her, okay, I recommend. I think she has a couple different ones. Anything. Also, for therapists, the Polyvagal Institute has really quick and easy and pretty affordable trainings. They have a very entry, like beginner nervous system training. I think it was very affordable. I actually bought it early days of learning about the nervous system and the polyvagal theory. And then they branch out and have multiple different ones, but it's very accessible. So I highly recommend that to any therapist. In terms of chronic pain, chronic illness symptoms, things like that, I recommend a couple different things. One is called The Mind-Body Prescription by Dr. John Sarno. When I read that, just by reading the book, I know this might sound a little odd, but just by reading the book, and he even says this in there, I had a decrease in my pain, because you're learning that it's not actually the physical structure in your body that's causing it. You have this aha moment of, oh my gosh, like this is what's happening. And then there's an app called Curable, Curable. And it is created actually from the tension, Dr. John Sarno's theory and work. I was working with a psychologist. I was in grad school, and that was, I don't really know, 8 years ago, something like that. And she was working from this theory. And then a few years later, I had some pain come back and I started researching, looking into, okay, who's doing that kind of work around here in Austin? And I found the app. They created this app from that, and they've done amazing work. It's an incredible app.
Oh, and that's specific to chronic pain?
Yeah, any kind of joint, muscular pain, migraines, any actually chronic illness symptoms that aren't going away, chronic fatigue, things like that.
Okay.
It's amazing. So I highly recommend it. I talked to
my jaw tightness.
Mm-hmm. I talked to everyone about it.
So fun. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm just curious, as we finish up here, what are some of the things that you do? Like, you're a helper, you're helping people all along. What are some of like the key practices that you have in your own life that sort of help keep you feeling good and sort of able to help other people?
That's a good question. I've been working on that lately because it ebbs and flows for sure. I'm sure many therapists get that. For me, actually, it's been looking around kind of traditional, just more time boundaries around work, around my schedule. I put my phone on do not disturb when I go to sleep, and I do not turn it on until I'm done with my meditation, with moving my body, with eating breakfast in the morning. And then I actually go and look at it. Once I started doing that, it was one of the best things I've ever done. I have the privilege that I can do that right now. I don't have to look at my phone for any reason. So that's been huge. And then making sure that I regulate myself in the evenings, whether that's like closing my laptop, going for a walk. It's getting darker now, so I don't really do that as much, but moving my body in any way, shape, or form, and that literally might just be like laying on the ground and doing a couple of stretches or just grounding, laying on the ground. I'll do that a lot. Honestly, I'll close my laptop after a session and I will just lay my body straight on the ground and just breathe just to get a little bit more energy back into myself. And then I'm trying to work on having more fun. I have to work to have fun. Like I have to like make it a point.
Me too. I don't think that was always true for me, but
me neither.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. It's interesting though. Well, what's fun is once you start to, for me, now that I'm sort of trying to bring more, I feel like there's more responsibilities that happen. And so you have to really be intentional about fun. Like, going to just be served to you on a charcuterie board, you know? So yeah, but it is, what I love is that because I'm trying to pay more attention to it, when it does happen, I'm like, oh, look at me. I'm so fun.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And it really
was like a really good song that I really
love. Yes.
Not something terrible that my child's playing in the car, you know, something that I went out of my way to find and play. And so it can be in smaller moments, but yeah, I think that can be a struggle, but solidarity. Yeah. I also struggle finding fun. Mm-hmm. It's out there. Is there anything else that you were hoping to talk about that I didn't ask you about or anything that you want to add?
That's a good question. I mean, really, there's so much more I could talk about, but that could take a long time. No, I mean, really, at the end of the day, what I hope is that people can start to recognize, just to listen to themselves instead of listening to everything else around them. Listening to their bodies, listening to their minds, and recognizing how to help themselves and what they need, whether that's that day, that moment, that year, whatever. There's just so much power in that when you can start to listen to you. So,
fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And
thank you.
Find everybody where they can find you online?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram or TikTok. Actually, I have both. Elevate Your Therapy. And you'll find everything on there. You'll find the link in bio and website groups, links to schedule a session. And I have the Yoga for Mental Health for Therapists workshop. It's happening this Friday. So I know it's pretty soon. I don't know if this will be out yet, but I might run it again as well. And if you can't make it, you always get the recording.
Yeah, I will definitely check that out because I know I need more of this in my own personal life, but also in my practice, and they all kind of overlap. So
yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Megan. Yeah, it was fun. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Family Brain. If you've thought of someone you know while you were listening, I would love it if you would share this episode with them. And if you really loved it, you could leave a 5-star review. That helps people find the show and spread the word. Thanks so much for listening.